1420 AM, W248 DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. The site of the former General Motors plant in Janesville has been empty for 15 years. The city is applying for a federal grant to spur new and more sustainable development there. Here's Mike Moan.
The city of Janesville will host a trio of public listening sessions in September as it prepares to apply for a $20 million EPA grant that focuses on environmental justice. The city's economic development director, Jim Z. Cuborn, says as they try to reimagine the old General Motors and JATCO site, they want surrounding neighborhoods experiencing low incomes and other side effects to have a brighter future.
We've got trees growing up in the middle of the asphalt and fences falling over, and so go in and create a green opportunity, a green field for new development and new opportunity.
She says that could include new energy-efficient housing and the possibility of solar projects. The GM site was demolished just prior to the pandemic, and this specific EPA grant doesn't deal with needed soil cleanup work. But Cuborn touts the importance of pursuing environmentally friendly development so that neighborhoods don't have to deal with things such as excessive stormwater runoff from these old sites. Cuborn says cities like Janesville aren't alone in confronting this problem.
There are multiple sites throughout the United States where we've seen things offshored, some things reshore, and communities are sitting on these blighted assets.
Janesville has encountered roadblocks, including working with a private company and getting the GM site fully free of contamination and its remaining concrete removed. And a recent Brookings Institution report outlined how the area has been able to survive without solely relying on heavy manufacturing. This is Mike Moan for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Tons of sunshine across the area for today with high temperatures warming to the lower 70s. North to northwest winds a bit breezy. Mostly clear skies tonight. Lows in the mid-40s. Sunshine for Labor Day. Highs in the lower 70s. Currently 71 degrees.
Locally grown radio, your home for news talk and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, I've been driving all over the town on my cell phone, wearing it out, and I finally tracked you down.
What is up, Wisconsin? You're listening to Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, the great, the fantastic, the wonderful Danielle Fairman's got the week off. And God bless her, because I hope she's out there scouting the fields that I can't get to right now, because it's just about sunset. Those Canada geese are rocking and rolling throughout the state. Man, what a week in Wisconsin. We are 1 week away from the Goose Opener, and you're listening to the show that's going to put it together for you, tell you how to take your game from the field to the table. And we're a week away from Goose season, and I'm really jacked. Because we're a week away from goose season means we just had the Wisconsin Waterfowl Hunters Expo, sponsored by the Fowl Life, Jargon Calls Banded. I mean, we had Share the Heritage up there, Mercury Boats, dogs, everything. And something we had up there, you want to know the influence that Raised in Wisco has in this state. I'm meeting people at the expo who are literally in the studio with us today as you're listening throughout the state of Wisconsin on 13 Civic Media stations throughout the state at 11 a.m. on Saturdays. Thank you, folks, for joining us. These guys I met at the expo, which is all about waterfowl, and they were kind enough to come into the studio today so that we could bring this to you, the very latest, the very greatest on how to get out into the outdoors in the state of Wisconsin. That's what Raised in Wisco is about, and that's why we're happy to have you here. Ellie Lawton-Smoller,
hey.
You were there with Share the Heritage this weekend.
Yes,
I mean, holy cow, what an awesome, awesome expo it was. I think every waterfowler in the state went through it.
I think so, too. The women's zone, oh my gosh, it was just amazing the entire time. The engagement we had from folks, men, women, youth, it was just fantastic. We had a great time.
And you guys did some cooking, too. I saw that. I have to tell you, and before we even get to that, I want to introduce Johnny Bauman, who is not only, I mean, he's a young kid. Well, young kids by my standard, that's like 25 to 35 I call young kids anymore. But I think there is nothing greater about Wisconsin than the entrepreneurial spirit, the outdoors, and putting those two things together. And Johnny Bauman invented something that so many people who use the outdoors never know how to do, and that is how to get what you kill in the field to the taxidermist in the proper way. He's the inventor of Bagged and Tagged. This was his first. Johnny Bauman, man, great to have you here. How old are you?
I'm 24 years old.
24 years old. You got a business. You want to make a life in the outdoor industry, obviously. And so you were at the Waterfowl Hunters Expo. We're going to get to that. You just got to keep listening because we've got so many exciting things to talk about this week. So we're going to start off with weekly Wiscos. And even though Danielle's not here, I'm going to do my weekly Wisco and I'll press our guests into doing it too. My weekly Wisco is that despite other jobs and other work and crazy mad busyness at the end of summer, I have been scouting every single day because tomorrow, literally tomorrow, is the Wisconsin State Canada Goose opener. It is also the opener of Morning Dove. It is also the opener of Early Teal. And we're going to get a little bit into the fact that if you're going to hunt Early Teal, you really got to know what you're doing, because those hen wood ducks, they look a lot like teal, I am telling you. So we're going to get into that. But first, my weekly Wisco is that I spent a ton of time out checking out the fields and trying to find where there's early Canada goose are. Now, you guys, you're a bird hunter, Ellie, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, you know that early season where you get 5 a day per person, that's established so that you're hunting local populations of geese to kind of cut down the local populations of geese. Do you think it's all local geese, or you think we're getting migrators already?
I think we're getting migrators already, for sure.
I mean, what makes you think that? Because a lot of the geese, they're settling into the same fields. They bounce around a little bit, but every day, day in, day out, the goal is to kill, you know, local geese and kind of knock those populations back. And I think it's just kind of crazy because toward the end of the early season and stuff, some people are shooting geese and they've got, you know, bands on them coming from Ontario and other places. Mm-hmm. Have you been scouting?
I have not. You know what? I'm so behind getting ready for goose. I've been focusing on getting ready for bow.
Oh, well, you know, and the crazy part is that starts only, 14 days later.
Yeah.
The bow season starts for archery. We've got turkey season starts on that same day. I mean, this is the time that it is the greatest to be a Wisconsinite. Are you getting ready for the hunting season, Johnny Bauman?
Absolutely, man. I've been out like you every night checking fields, looking at different fields, different ponds, different local ponds and whatnot, for sure.
One of the hardest things to me is that I'm a goose hunter at heart. Now, don't get me wrong, I do love hunting ducks, but I'm a goose hunter at heart. And one of the tough things to do if you go out for early teal, because there's a mad population of teal in Wisconsin, and those populations are so burgeoning, they allow us to harvest some of the early teal, right? Mm-hmm. But part of the problem is a teal flies, I always say it's like hunting bats. Those things fly so fast. They're like little rockets in the air, right?
I can never tell them. I'm just not there yet.
I think the best advice that I could give is that if you're not sure of the species you are hunting, don't pull the trigger.
Absolutely.
Because a teal looks a heck of a lot like a hen wood duck. They fly very similarly. Hen wood ducks are a little slower wing beat, but you got to be awfully familiar with them because the last thing you want to do is go out there and kill the wrong species because there are other ducks around. Are you seeing ducks throughout the state, Johnny?
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of ducks around for sure. And I mean, like you said too about the teal and the wood ducks, definitely got to watch out like early morning too when you can't really visualize them. I would just be careful out there. Make sure you're shooting the right birds.
Oh, for sure. Ellie, what's your weekly WISCO? What have you been doing outside in Wisconsin this week?
Oh, my weekly WISCO, keeping the horses alive and well.
Is it tough right now to keep livestock healthy?
You know what? Yes, this heat, it's really hard on them. You know, they're sassy some days. They sweat a lot right now. We're pumping electrolytes into them. They just don't love the heat. Last week when we dropped under 50 the other night, oh, they were full of it. They were all fresh. They were ready to go. They're looking forward to fall just like us.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm telling you what. I mean, even in the studio, the air conditioning's on, and it's got to be like 85 degrees in the studio. It's crazy. Air conditioning can't even keep up. It's not even keeping up at my house. And one of the crazier things was, and we're going to get to this, I was hunting in Texas last week for Spanish goats out there, and we almost stepped on a rattlesnake. So that is one heck of a crazy story. That we're going to get to. And later in the show, we're going to talk about sous vide wild goose breast in a sherry cream sauce. I fed about 200 people at the Wisconsin Waterfowl Expo. That was an incredible experience too. You know where I just came from? I literally just came from a farm. I was on a farm, a buddy of mine, actually a relative, and this story is so crazy. About 4 years ago, you know, I tell everybody the hunting takes place long before you pull the trigger. The hunting's actually
absolutely
knocking on doors, talking to farmers, getting permissions, scouting. That's the hunting. Showing up on the day of and pulling the trigger, setting up the decoys, that's the harvesting. And if it doesn't happen that day, you know, you're out there enjoying nature. So about 4 years ago, 5 years ago now, probably, I stopped. I saw some geese in the field. I knocked on a farmer's door and he came out. We started a conversation. I hunted there. Probably he was kind of leery to let me hunt to begin with, but then he let me hunt and we're going, you know, on about 2 years and I show up there delivering a goose pot pie saying, nice. Hey, I killed this on your field. I wanted to give this to you. And it was just like an awesome reaction that he had. And his wife comes out and she shows me a picture and she's like, what do you think of this picture? And I was like, oh, that's a really cool picture. I said, that guy looks like my grandpa. She said, I think it is your grandpa.
Oh no my way. Gosh.
That's crazy.
What?
That's amazing.
I'm like, why do you have a picture of my grandpa? And she goes, cause Daryl, her husband, Daryl's the farmer. She's like, Daryl's great grandma was your great grandpa's sister. Now, that's a little tricky to put together. But what that means is Daryl and I are first cousins twice removed. So the guy.
That's crazy.
I mean, what? The guy who owns the farm is literally, I'm blood related to him.
That's wild.
You know what one of the greatest things about it is? It's a lot easier for me to ask permission every year.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
But he's got a farm out in Sullivan and they're just great. We've become great friends with Daryl and Tammy and he's got these robots now. He's like, well, we got the robots now. And I'm like, what in the hell kind of robot do you use on a farm? Right. Do you guys know the answer to this? Cause I didn't know when he said it. Ellie, Johnny?
Yeah, I grew up on a dairy farm. Of course, okay. I know.
You knew what a robot on a dairy farm was?
Well, yeah, for milking.
Well, explain it to me because I was like, I'm thinking of like, you know, I'm like, take me to your cows.
No,
kind of robots. Did you have robots on your dairy farm?
We did not. That's more of like a milking parlor situation.
Right.
We had later on, we had the like automatic takeoff milkers. But you still had to manually move them from cow to cow. Whereas the parlor situation, they're going in and there's not a lot of human contact.
It's insane.
Yeah.
I went to check it out tonight. Dude, the cows line up.
Yeah, they like, know they
don't,
their job.
You don't have to do anything.
Yep. No.
The cows line up, and they're just like, and I was like, oh my gosh, these cows. I'm like, how do you get the cows to line up? And they're just like, well, I don't know. They're full of milk, and they probably want a little relief. So they go into them. The milk. I mean, just.
They learn.
They learn.
They know where to go. They know what time it is. They get on their schedules.
I mean, it's crazy to think about.
They do the same thing every day, all day.
Jess, our producer, who runs the ship here, who is like on top of it and awesome beyond explanation.
Yelling at you.
You don't yell at me.
Just boss you around.
You do boss me around a little bit, but you're the boss. I'm cool with that. I'm not one of the. I do not let pride get in the way of a good product. Okay.
That's really good.
And this is a good product, and people are even talking about this product. And you know, Raised in Wisco is a show that includes everything in the state of Wisconsin that you can do outdoors. And at the end of the day, I tell people it's a cooking show, too. And we love that you're along with us. You can listen to us on all the Civic Media stations throughout Wisconsin every Saturday at 11. And I can't wait to talk about the rest of this milking parlor story, how I almost died in Texas, and Johnny Bauman's product, and Ellie's experience at the Waterfowl Expo. It's going to be great.
Heck yeah.
I got my money. Hey, mister, won't you sell me a fake ID? There's a band in the bar that I'm dying to see. I got my money and you got what I need. Hey, mister, won't you sell me a fake ID? Hey, mister, won't you sell me a fake ID? There's a band in the bar that I'm dying to see. I got my money, you got what I need. Hey, mister, won't you sell me a fake ID?
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Most of us can agree, everyone deserves the right to make their own medical decisions. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, we have leaders like Vice President Kamala Harris who are standing up for our rights to make our own medical decisions and protect abortion rights. As Vice President, Kamala Harris helped lead the administration's efforts to protect abortion rights after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Vice President Harris has worked to defend access to emergency medical care and support the ability to travel for reproductive care. She's fought for access to high-quality, affordable contraception and strengthened reproductive health privacy. Vice President Harris has defended our rights and freedoms against right-wing extremists who want the government to make medical decisions for us. She's a champion for our rights. Visit www.abwt.org/Kamala and tell Vice President Harris, keep fighting for our freedom to make our own medical decisions. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Is Raised in Wisco. I'm Joel Clayfish alongside our fill-in host, Ellie Lawton-Smoller.
Hey.
What up? What's going on?
Just having a great time.
Yeah, I mean, I told her, you know, that she was going to be auditioning as a fill-in guest host. How's it going so far? How do you feel like it's going so far?
I feel like I'm giving it total effort.
Hey, you did go running out screaming after first segment, so you're doing great.
Yes, and ultimately it's going to be up to Jess because Jess is the boss. She steers the ship.
Well, Joel, if it was going to be up to you, I was going to say it's like that's the Step Brothers movie where actually I'm interviewing you.
Oh, and I just didn't realize it, huh?
Oh, you're not in your tuxedo.
Well, I can do better Will Ferrell quotes probably from Anchorman since that was my former industry. But
perfect.
Folks, you're joining us on Raised in Wisco, the show heard throughout the Civic Media Network and the state of Wisconsin every Saturday at 11. Thank you for joining us. We love having you out there, and we appreciate it. This show is about helping you to enjoy the great state of Wisconsin's outdoors, its outdoor resources. And I think that if you listen to this show, you leave it saying, wow, I did not realize how many resources they are. And those resources are often governed by the folks we elect. So I want to remind you that Tuesday, September 17th is National Voter Registration Day. Make a plan to check your voter registration and be sure you're ready for November 5th. It's a big election coming up, and those people who are elected, they affect what we do statewide. Civic Media is getting recombobulated, too. Dan Schaefer and his Milwaukee News and Opinion publication, the Recombobulation Area, are now also part of Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to him. Welcome to Raised in Wisco. We had the Waterfowl Hunters Expo this past Saturday. It was unbelievable. I mean, we had probably close to 10,000 people through the door. All folks who are going to be enjoying the waters and woods of the state of Wisconsin this next week, because tomorrow, Sunday, the day before Labor Day, the goose, dove, and early teal opener happens. And you know what? I wanted to get ready for hunting season, so I delivered my daughters out to Texas to college. Now, this was very hard. I'm in rough shape right now. I don't know if you can tell it.
I can't.
I'm in rough shape.
You're masking it well.
Yeah, you're doing a good job.
Thank you.
It's the cowboy hat.
It is. We're going to get to that in a second.
What's that cowboy hat hiding?
What is that? That cowboy hat is hiding pain.
Oh, no.
He has tissues and liquid IVs under his cowboy hat right now.
Fatherly pain.
Oh.
That's what it's hiding.
Oh, you need a hug.
My daughters are gone.
You got an empty nest?
My oldest daughter got married at 21. Some folks think that's a little young to get married, but she is driven in her pursuit and her spirituality, and she's ready. And her husband, Gabe, is a great guy. They moved permanently to Waco, Texas.
Wow.
And she's a senior at Baylor University. And my little one, Violet, as you know, Viper, that's her nickname. She's my little hunting buddy. She starts her freshman year at Baylor. So if you're checking us out on Facebook Live, you can see I'm wearing a cowboy hat today. And part of the reason I'm wearing a cowboy hat is because I was in Texas. And when you come back from Texas, like when you go to Texas, wearing a cowboy hat's just like normal.
Yes.
Totally normal. And I kind of like cowboy hats. I think they're cool and fun, and they keep the sun out of your eyes.
They go with every outfit.
And they're almost kind of like part of an ensemble, you know? They do really go with almost every outfit, and even guys in suits with a cowboy hat and women wearing cowboy hats. It's a good look, I think. I really do. So I'm wearing my cowboy hat because I just got back from Texas, and I want to tell you I had an experience in Texas. I was out hunting black Hawaiian sheep in Texas Hill Country out there. And I'm walking along with the guide at dusk, and we both step on a stick and hear,
oh,
uh-oh. Hell no.
That's when I run.
Look to the side, and literally, Jess, from you to me away is a rattlesnake.
That's not far enough.
No.
Not by a long shot.
No.
And I don't even like a grass snake that close.
Is going along next to a log right within arm's reach of me, and he's got his tail in the air. And he keeps going, and I'm like, okay, he's going.
I would have been gone. There's no way. No way.
2 seconds later, a bigger one is behind him.
No. Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Oobly.
Yeah. So the good news
is...
Has
your blood pressure recovered since?
The good news is rattlesnake is delicious.
Yes. Oh, yeah? I've heard.
And really? Taking something from the field to the table does not disinclude rattlesnake. I don't know if disinclude's a word, but
can be
it can include. It can be.
Yeah.
Ellie, sure. We've got a resident grammatologist along with us who says it can be a word. So we're going with it. So I turned
and kind of I made every, sure everybody was, you know, safely behind me. And I shot. I had a handgun with me. Pop, pop, pop. I got it all three times. And we had rattlesnake.
Dang,
I
mean, how was it?
It was so cool. Well, oddly, this is not the first time I've encountered one and not the first time I've eaten it. People ask, what's it like? I say it's like dry or chewy chicken. We fried it and it can fry up. It tastes kind of, I don't know, it's a little bit like alligator, but a little more chewy.
That's like chewy, kind of rubbery chicken is alligator.
Oh, no. See, you're not eating alligator the right way.
No,
you know,
I
kill like 30 alligators a year and I make alligator and it is so delicious. You got to try it sometime. I mean, you really got to try
it. Yeah, because clearly I've only had the bad stuff.
Well, right. Well, if I haven't cooked it, yeah. I do love alligator, and I make alligator gyros on the Traeger grill, which is super delicious and fun. Johnny Bauman is with us today, and I'm going to just let you get started. We only have a few minutes. And I want you to tell me about Tagged and Bagged, how this came into fruition, where you thought of it, why you thought of it, and where it's going from here and how we met.
All right. So I started Tagged and Bagged. I started researching how to actually package a bird properly 3 years ago, but I started the business.
When you tell people how to package a bird, explain exactly what you mean. How to package a duck or a goose or a game bird that you've harvested in the field, right?
Yep, exactly. So when you harvest a bird, you want to mount, you take that bird, and there's a proper way to package them. I never had a clue, and everybody had a different idea on how to do it. So I researched, did a ton of talking with taxidermists. So when you shoot the bird, you want to take the bird, you want to properly take it together. You want to get one of these kits for sure. You want to take towelettes and you want to wrap the feet and the head. That way when you put it in the freezer, it keeps all the moisture around it because those are the first things the freezer burn. Then along with that, we have a nylon in there. Some taxidermists love it, some hate it. It's kind of a mixture. I would consult with your taxidermist, but I like it because it holds back all the feathers when we travel. So when we go across states, you got it in your cooler. It kind of helps keep everything together. Along with that, we got a cotton ball for the mouth. You throw it in there. That way, when you lay it on the back of the bird, the head on the back of the bird, or underneath the wing, you for sure keep all that blood in its mouth and it doesn't drip on the bird. That way, you know, it's just one less step for the taxidermist.
I can't wait to talk to you about how you came up with this, why you came up with this, and what it takes to be an entrepreneur. Also, we're going to talk about new hunters in the field. And our recipe, which is going to be fantastic. Sous vide goose fed 200 people. That was
sounds so
awesome.
Good. Love it. Higher than a jail, I know. And if you want a little bang in your yin yang, come along. Yeah, yeah, we're coming to your city. We're going to play our guitars and sing you a country song.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
CBS News Brief. Mass protests have broken out across Israel after the bodies of six hostages killed in Gaza were discovered. This protester is in Jerusalem.
We're grieving the death of six hostages. They should have come back alive. They could have come back alive.
Israel's largest labor union has called for a strike to, quote, shut down the economy over the government war policy. The UN is administering emergency polio vaccinations aimed at 640,000 children in Gaza.
There will not be fighting in the areas where the campaign is being conducted. So the first 3 days will be the middle area of the Gaza Strip, and then we'll move to the south for 3 days and then to the north for 3 days.
That's UNICEF's Tess Ingram. Thousands of hotel workers in major U.S. cities went on strike this morning. Michael Correa is a barback at Hilton Boston Logan Airport.
Getting this contract is so important to us because everything is going up. It's groceries, rent, insurance.
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
The Kitchen's Open on WFHR, a feature within the morning show every Monday at 9. Join me, Melissa Kay, and my guests to learn about food-related topics that will interest and entertain.
The Brewers win again in Oakland. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers took the lead in Game 2, then added some insurance runs late on the way to a 9-5 victory over the A's. Milwaukee's Jake Bowers had a home run, also scored three more times in the game. Brewers manager Pat Murphy on those extra runs in the 8th and 9th.
Really important. Tacking on is however you want to term it. Staying after it, being relentless, pecking away, however you want to term it. It's the key to a major league game because it's hard to win a major league game and there's really good players on both sides.
NFL, the Packers have the next 3 days off after beating the Ravens yesterday 30-7 in front of 72,000 fans at Lambeau Field. Matt LaFleur on Packers linebacker Christian Welch, who grew up in Iola, Wisconsin.
He's just a smart, tough, physical player. I thought that interception that he had was an outstanding play. It looked like, to me, he baited the quarterback right there as a hook player and just made a great break on the ball and made the play. And then he had a heck of a return.
That's Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, clear skies, lows in the mid-40s. Sunshine, 74 on Monday. Monday night, clear, 48. Sunny and 75 for Tuesday, a little breezy. For Tuesday night, clear skies, a low of 50. Sunshine and 78 on your Wednesday.
Right now, 71 degrees.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Join our advertising family on WFHR and WIRI and see how radio can help improve awareness, revenue, and staffing for your business. I'm Ashley, and it's my mission to help our area businesses thrive. Call me today, 715-496-0710.
Sometimes life's challenges leave you feeling alone. We all need someone who understands and listens without judgment. That's what the 988 Wisconsin Lifeline is for. 988 is free and confidential. Trained counselors are ready to listen and provide support 24/7 for mental health and substance use concerns. You can contact 988 for yourself or for someone you know. Don't wait. Call or text 988 or chat online at 988wisconsin.org. 988 24/7. Call, text, chat. Here to support you.
Brought to you by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now.
800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on WFHR.com. Your news, just for Wisconsin Rapids and surrounding communities. I'm Melissa Kay with WFHR News.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Raised in Wisco is your one-stop shop to learn everything you need to know about Wisconsin's outdoors. How to do it, how to get out there. Don't be afraid to get out there and try something for the first time. And don't be afraid to take it from the field to the table. We've got guests in the studio today. Ellie Lawton-Smoller and Johnny Bauman from Tagged and Bagged. Ellie is involved in the Share the Heritage Foundation. And we hooked up all of us at the Waterfowl Hunters Expo last week. And we've got a couple other guests in the studio. Johnny, I want to let you introduce Adele, your girlfriend. You brought her along. We got a packed studio. It's probably why it's 85 degrees in here.
It's cozy in here.
Celebrating our one-year anniversary, actually. So.
Oh, my gosh. Happy anniversary.
Congratulations. What better way to do it than on Raised in Wisco, where the entire state gets to know that you guys have beaten the odds of a young couple hanging out together for a year? Way to go.
You made it.
Way to go.
Let's go.
That's why I brought you anniversary cake.
Oh, wow. That's what it was for.
She did. And, you know, that is funny because the show is really about taking foraging Wisconsin to the field. And right now is literally the time in Wisconsin for harvesting everything in gardens,
yes,
everything that's growing wild.
That's where the rhubarb came from.
We start. Really? The rhubarb came. Jess. Do you like rhubarb?
I love rhubarb.
Oh, me too.
It's so great.
Some people are funny about it.
No. Like,
but when you put rhubarb in pie or cake, it's so good. It adds just a moisture
I
to the cake.
I love sour stuff.
Yes.
Me too.
So it's just yum, 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 yum.
It's, you know what? It's like the Sour Patch Kids of cake.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
If I can go.
For sure.
Can I go that far?
That's a good way to put it.
That's not a horrible way to describe it, is it?
No.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Yeah, it looks amazing. My cheat day is on Sunday, so I'm going to take some home and I'm going to keep it wrapped so that it stays, you know.
No.
It doesn't dry out. I'm not eating it. I can't eat it today. I'm too fat, Ellie.
I'll make you one on Sunday.
You'll make me one on Sunday.
Yeah, you got to have it fresh.
Be careful what you offer in front of me, because one of the best things in life is to take people up on things. You don't get to do things unless you ask.
Hey.
And that.
I will definitely bake you a cake on Sunday.
Okay.
Come get it, though. I'm not driving it to you.
That's fine.
Okay.
Wait, whoa. Let's slow down a minute. That's opening day of goose season, so I don't know if I'm going anywhere after opening day, because we're usually on the field at 1 o'clock in the morning, and that gets to be a very long day. You know, I love the fact that Raised in Wisco gets to talk about everything you can do here in the state of Wisconsin and why this is one of the greatest places to live. And you guys know, I love to travel too. I love experiencing other cultures. I love experiencing other food. And 2 weeks ago, I got to be in Austria hunting chamois in the Austrian Alps. I was showing you guys some of those pictures. It's kind of crazy.
Explain what that animal is.
All right. A chamois is a type of mountain goat. And I always tell people it's got like candy cane horns. That's what their horns look like, little candy canes kind of. And they're judged on the trophy size of like how long the candy cane horns are. And what's funny about it, it's not like a deer, because a candy cane horns of like, you know, 95 centimeters is huge, you know, for a chamois. And what's really funny about it is this animal throughout the Alps, the only place you can really hunt it naturally in the world is the Alpine Mountains.
Okay.
Now, the Alps, a lot of people don't realize the Alps go through Germany, Switzerland, Austria. There's even some of the Alps in Italy.
Dang.
So they go through a very wide array of countries, but I was in the area really like The Sound of Music, the musical, The Sound of Music, like this is the area they were from.
That's crazy.
I mean, Edelweiss and Captain Von Trapp. And what is so cool, and I think in the United States, I think we so often look at the differences of people, and we're constantly comparing differences instead of finding what's common. Now, I'm not trying to sound like I'm a squishy liberal or anything like that, or a hardcore conservative, because I'm running this one down the middle, Jess. In Wisconsin, I think we do a very great job, number one, of preserving heritages here. We've got, you know, an African-American heritage, a Latino heritage, a German heritage, an Italian heritage in Wisconsin that are very strong. And I think we do a good job of preserving it. But hunting in Europe has a different level of, I don't know if I want to say respect for what you're hunting, but at least employment of the tradition of hunting. And I was showing you guys the way they hunt over there in very traditional hunting gear, lederhosen, and they wear their hunting, their, you know, European hunting hats, which are wool or made out of some type of fur that's been trimmed down. And they have this thing called They call it the last bite. And if you harvest an animal, you take a bite of the, in this area, it was pine trees, and you put a pine sprig in the mouth and you put a pine sprig on your hat to show respect for the animal. And you don't take a picture of that animal without his last bite in his mouth. And the traditional hunting gear was, you know, lederhosen and boots and the socks pulled up to the knees and a traditional European hat. And I got to tell you, as somebody from the United States, most people who don't know about hunting would look at that and think it's corny. I mean, what did you guys think looking at that stuff?
I thought it blended into the environment way too much and looked really warm.
Yeah, it was warm. It was like 90 degrees.
Yeah, like a combination of you're going on a safari, but you're going to German Fest to drink a beer.
Yeah, it's it kind of does look like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you definitely pulled it off, though. I think it.
It
I was
great.
Like, man, I think you should bring it back here.
Yeah. Oh, I have it.
Start
I have it.
It
all.
Oh, dang. I haven't seen the pictures, but I look
you got
to
hunt opener. Opener and goose. You got to be
Jess,
wearing it.
We
the pictures
show you
are
the
great.
Picture. And I guess what I really appreciated about it was the appreciation of the tradition of hunting. And, you know, as women age 18 to 35, the fastest growing group of new hunters.
Yes.
Ellie, you are involved with Share the Heritage, and this is all about getting women into the outdoors.
Absolutely.
Taking people who have never hunted before necessarily or